let us hear the word of God as it's found in John chapter 14, reading through to verse 9. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Amen. So reads the word of God. Okay, we've just read that portion from John's Gospel, but if you are familiar with Romans, the book of Romans, and if you've ever read through Paul's letter to the Romans, you will find in those first three chapters of Romans through to verse 20 of chapter 3, Paul very carefully sets out the total sinfulness of man. He unfolds in those first three chapters, I say, up to verse 20, the bad news. And then from verse 21 of chapter 3 through to the end of chapter 5, Paul then begins to unfold the good news. That God has made provision for man's sin, and that provision is by grace. We are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Provision for sin, salvation, friends, is not based on anything that a man or a woman or a young boy or young girl does. It's not based on their good deeds. It's not based on their religious activities. It's not based on their good intentions or their lofty motives. No, beloved, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that anyone can do to have their sins forgiven and be made right with Almighty God. Rather, friends, and this is the good news, that God has done it all. God has done it all by his grace, because of his great love with which he loved us. God will forgive any sinner who puts their trust, their faith, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter how far-reaching your sin is. It doesn't matter how fast your sin is. It doesn't matter how consummate your sin is. It doesn't matter the degree into which you have gone into sin, or the frequency of your sin, or the heinousness of it. No matter what the level or the amount of your sin, his grace, God's grace, is enough. No matter how extensive the sin, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, when I talk about sin and sinners and sinning, I am very aware that in modern society I encounter something of a problem. And the problem is this, and it's a serious problem. Systematically in the UK, systematically in Western society, we are eliminating moral responsibility. We are eliminating spiritual responsibility because we are eliminating any moral definition of human behavior. Everything has become a disease. Everything. It's an illness or a syndrome of some kind. We don't talk about sin, iniquity, wickedness, evil, wretchedness. We don't talk about man as a moral being who is behaving in an immoral way. We talk about sickness. And we have developed this sophisticated and comprehensive retitling of abnormal, immoral, unspiritual, wicked, sinful, iniquitous behavior under disease terminology. And friends, the consequences of that is absolutely frightening. Frightening because it does two things. First of all, it puts the church out of business. Since we deal in the moral and the spiritual, and today, because nothing is moral and spiritual, the world thinks the church has got nothing to say. We're out of business. Nobody comes to us. We are viewed as some kind of dinosaur. We sound like we're talking as if we're from the Middle Ages. It's another language. But the second thing that occurs in this redefinition of terms is that people no longer deal with sin as sin. And if you eliminate the proper diagnosis for the disease, you inevitably cut people off from the cure. What does it matter if I, as a preacher, say to people, Jesus Christ will forgive your sins no matter how heinous or how deep or how fast? What does it matter if I, as a preacher of the gospel, say the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin? What does it matter if I say that if the people that I'm addressing have absolutely no sense of responsibility about sin? They don't recognize sin as sin in their lives. Rather, it's an illness, some syndrome for which they are not responsible. You see, the redefinition of everything in terms of illness cuts people off from their sensibilities towards sin that will lead them to the need of a Savior. And so, friends, dinosaur or not, sounding like someone from the Middle Ages or not, we have only one option. If we are going to remain faithful to the Word of God, and that is, we will continue in the path that we believe is established in God's Word. God created man. Man fell. Judgment was pronounced. The soul that sins, it will die. Death passed on all the sons of Adam. You and I are part of a fallen race. And all our problems come down to this. We are sinners. What is sin? Sin is defined for us in the Bible as quite simply the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of God's law. The law is encapsulated for us in those Ten Commandments. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't have any other gods before you. God's a jealous God. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And you know, honor your father and mother. Don't kill, don't steal, don't destroy, don't lie. You know, don't covet. If you've broken any of those commandments, God says you've broken them all. What a sin, the transgression of the law of God. And there is only one remedy for sin. And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes on to the Father but by him. Jesus Christ is the remedy. There is not a Baptist way. There is not a Presbyterian way. There's not a Methodist way. There's not a Pentecostal way. There's not a Roman Catholic way. There's not a Muslim way. It's not a Buddhist way or a Sikh way or a Jewish way or whatever way. There is only one remedy for sin and only one. There is only one way of salvation and only one way of salvation. And Jesus Christ says that he is the way. You know, friends, there are many who insist that as long as you are sincere about what you believe, you'll be absolutely okay. You know, even if you're a sincere atheist, you'll be okay. But friends, that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Bible tells us that the way that leads to life is narrow, and there are few who find it. Now, it's narrow in the sense that it's a singular way. There are not many roads leading to God, and one of those roads leading to God just happens to be the road of sincerity. No, friends, there is one road and only one road. There is only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people are so caught up in their religious persuasion or their denominational affiliation that they lose sight of what, you know, the scriptures teach. But our concern is to focus wholly on the truth of God, realizing that it's only what he has spoken that can show us the way to himself, and consequently, the way to eternal life. Unless we go the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never know the Father. What is the way to the Father? Well, Jesus told his disciples. He said, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." But then Thomas interjected, and he said, "Well, here, hold on, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" In other words, Thomas was saying, if we do not even know where you're going, how in the world can we know the way to follow you? And Jesus answered him by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You see, friends, Jesus did not come to simply tell us about the way, but he came to be the way to the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, as the way to the Father, Jesus has taken on the role of mediator on behalf of men. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 and 6. He says, "There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the divinely appointed mediator between God and men. Having taken upon himself human nature, yet without any sin, he perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He didn't break any of those commandments. Didn't break any of the moral law, the ceremonial law, or the religious law. He kept it all perfectly. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He suffered and he died upon the cross in the place of sinners, for the salvation of sinners. He was taken from that cross and he was buried, and he lay in that tomb for 3 days, and then he rises from the dead. And he's ascended to his Father, at whose right hand he ever lives to make intercession for those who trust in him. He is the only mediator. He is the only prophet. He is the only priest. He is the only king of the church and the sovereign of the universe. Now, do you realize why we need a mediator? A mediator implies that there's some kind of estrangement. Mediator implies that there's some kind of impasse, a separation, at which two parties cannot come together. We think of mediators or arbitrators, we think usually in the realm of industrial disputes. If you're watching Northwest Tonight, Thursday or Friday night it was, dispute in the Isle of Man with the teachers, between the teachers and the government, the Isle of Man government, and they're bringing in mediators to try and sort it out. British Airways, Ryanair pilots on strike, at some point there are going to be arbitrators brought in. We think of arbitration, mediation in the realm of industrial disputes. Those two parties will be brought together through that mediation process. The mediator will judge the differences between the two parties and then try to settle the dispute by, you know, mutual decision and compromise. But you understand, friends, Jesus Christ is not an arbitrator. There is no common ground for settling the dispute between ourselves and Almighty God. You know, we're sinful, he's not. We've done the wrong, he hasn't. And an accord could not be reached with God on a basis of give and take. You know, this lot of sinners, you know, they'll give a little bit, and you, the holy, righteous God, you give a little bit. It doesn't work like that. It's an impossibility. You see, friends, there is a vast gulf between God and man that has been caused by Adam's fall. Huge chasm. Man is guilty, condemned, stands in a state of open warfare and rebellion with Almighty God. Do you want to go to heaven and not hell? Do you want to go to heaven and not hell when you breathe your last? But how can you go to heaven if there is enmity, if there is warfare between you and God? We must have a mediator who can open up the way back to the Father. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in response to Thomas's question, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus was stating in succinct fashion the whole of his mediatorial work for us. How then is Jesus the way? Obviously, we must begin with his incarnation. For Jesus to mediate between God and men, Jesus could not be directly from Adam's line. Because if he was directly from Adam's line, that would mean that he too was affected by Adam's fall, and therefore a sinner also at enmity with God. Nor could he be in nature only God. For that would mean that he is separated from sinners, cannot identify with sinners, and certainly cannot stand before the Godhead on behalf of the same sinners who have infinitely offended him due to their sin. So how can this need of a mediator be settled? How can that dilemma be resolved? Only by God himself, who alone is perfect, sinless, and totally holy, becoming a man and perfectly fulfilling all righteousness on man's behalf. And so Jesus Christ has two natures. You have one nature, I have one nature, a human nature, a fallen nature. Jesus Christ has two natures. He has a human nature and he has a divine nature. And the two are not to be confused. They're distinct in every way. The nature of God and the nature of man in one person, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus, who was born as a babe at Bethlehem and died as a man at Calvary and rose from the dead 3 days later, is the only mediator, the only way. He states that with absolute singular authority. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Now, do you see this, friends? by Christ being the way, that implies that there is no other way. The moment we try to, you know, bypass Jesus Christ in order to get to God, then we have attempted to mediate our own course to heaven. Those who try, you know, to say, well, I'm good enough. Those who try to say, well, my religion is enough. Jesus says, if you're trying to bypass me, you're no better than thieves and robbers. That's what he says in John chapter 10, verse 1. So what does the mediation of Christ do for sinners like ourselves? Well, it brings us to the Father. Brings us to God the Father. Now, to get to the Father, the enmity, the hostility between us and God must be removed. And the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished that through his sacrificial death on the cross. The guilt and the condemnation that we were under and that we duly deserved, that sentence of God's wrath that was hanging over us, fell upon Jesus Christ. And he justly satisfied every requirement of the law. And what is the requirement of the law? The soul that sins, it will die. And he who was sinless died. It's a miracle in itself. Because he takes our punishment upon himself. And having made peace through his cross, having made peace through the blood of his cross, we can have access into the Father. And there is no condemnation, as we were saying a few weeks ago. No condemnation to those here in Christ Jesus. You see, once that guilt is removed, once that sin stain is washed away, we are brought into an eternal relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are adopted into God's family. There is no other way to be received into God's family or receive the blessings that God gives to his children other than through the one who said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The old Puritan writer Thomas Brooks says, all the tears of the world cannot remove one sin, nor all the grace and holiness that is in angels by the pardon of the least transgression. All remission is only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus as your only mediator between yourself and the Father? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Unless you have trusted Christ alone as the only way to the Father, you're still dead in trespasses and sins, and you're still in need of a Savior. Jesus goes on to declare that he is the truth. Now, if Christ is the truth, doesn't it follow, friends, that anyone who sets himself up against Christ or contradicts Christ is a liar? You know, Allah can't be God if Christ is. Muhammad can't be God's prophet if Christ is. Mary can't be a mediator if Christ is. Either Christ is telling the truth or telling a lie. Jesus declared that he is the truth. His enemies have tried to find some fault in him, some flaw in him, some lie in him, but they have never succeeded, nor will they ever succeed. Why not? Because he is God, and God cannot lie. Jesus Christ embodies truth. He is truth in person. And he reveals the Father. He shows the Father. He displays the infinite character of Almighty God. He shows the total holiness of God. And friends, because Christ has spoken the truth, because he has revealed the truth, because he has pointed the way to heaven, that truth has to be responded to. Now, come on, you can bury your head in the sand here this morning. Or you can sit and say, well, the preacher's talking a load of rubbish. And you can dismiss every word that I say. But realize this. One day you will have to reckon with Christ's sure judgments. He is coming back again to judge the living and the dead. There is going to be a great assizes. And someday you will stand before him. And you can either stand before him as Savior or you stand before him as judge. If you embrace him today as your Savior, you need not fear that coming judgment. On that day of judgment, if Christ should say to each of us, why should I let you into heaven? What are we going to plead? My decency, my sincerity. Not a bad person. My religion. I've been baptized. What are you going to plead? On that great assizes, that great day of judgment, you're standing in the courtroom. What are you going to plead? The only thing I'll be able to plead is the blood of Christ. I plead a Savior. I plead a mediator. I plead one who died on my behalf. Friends, if God is speaking to your heart, don't ignore his voice. What I'm talking about, will it ruin your life if you embrace the Lord Jesus Christ? Will it destroy your life? Change it, certainly. But not ruin it. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life who gives life to those who believe in him. All those who owe their existence to him. You know, everything in creation owes its existence to Christ. And we typically think of life as the ability to breathe, think, move, etc. And yes, while all those things are true of life in Christ, you're coming to the very source of life. And in Christ, there is so much more. He says, I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He gives us minds to know and to think of these glorious truths that we expound week by week from the Bible. He gives us emotions to feel moved when we think and hear of Christ and his cross. And the hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Can't sing that without it touching your heart, can you? And then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glories forever I'll share. He gives us tongues to speak and to proclaim the excellencies of this glorious gospel. He gives us souls that live on in relationship to him, these souls that, you know, will live on into eternity, enjoying that relationship with him. Well, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. That statement just it doesn't need any explanation, does it? You know, you just simply come to Christ, you embrace Christ, you have access to the Father. The way to the Father, the only way to life, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe what I've been preaching to you this morning? If so, have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust in his mediatorial work? Do you say, yes, I recognize you as God, I recognize you as my Savior, I recognize you as my mediator, that you died on the cross for me, and I see myself for what I am. A sinner alienated from yourself. Jesus said, I am the way. Have you come to the way? Have you come via the way of Jesus? Jesus said, I am the truth. Have you embraced that truth? Are you in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said that he is the life. Do you have that life radiating through your very bones? You know, friends, those questions cannot just be brushed to one side. Have you answered them? Will you determine before you leave this chapel this morning to answer them and have your relationship settled with God? If you don't know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, you will never see heaven. Only if you answer positively will you be able to say that Christ is your richest gain, and on him alone you rest.